Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Minnesota's Attorney General Keith Ellison. Bravo to you, sir. I give him a thumbs up with this latest situation where he's joined the Federal Trade Commission in the state of Illinois in litigation against iconic American tractor company John Deere. Keith Ellison is suing John Deere over farmers' rights to repair their own machines. And let me lay this out for you, because I 100% support him in this, and I agree with him in this, because realistically what we're talking about, and we've talked about this for a while, right, is with these conglomerates and these big companies, a lot of times when we start talking about lack of competition and stuff like that, who ends up getting screwed? We do.
Consumers.
We get screwed because they gouge us with pricing. According to the Minnesota Star Tribune, citing the frustration of farmers who are forced to rely on authorized dealers to fix broken down tractors, Ellison joined the Federal Trade Commission and the Illinois Attorney General in charging Deere and Company with anti-competitive practices Wednesday in federal court in Chicago. The quote from a statement from Keith Ellison: Deere, as in John Deere, has made it virtually impossible for farmers themselves or independent repair shops to fully repair Deere equipment. I'm filing this lawsuit against Deere to end their unlawful repair monopoly and make it easier for Minnesota farmers to afford their lives. In a statement on Wednesday evening, John Deere said the lawsuit is based on fatally flawed legal theories. The company would go on to say, this lawsuit filed on the eve of a change in administration, as in the presidential administration, ignores the company's longstanding commitment to customer self-repair and the consistent progress and innovation we have made over time. Okay, so now this is the deal, okay? This is how I view it, okay? And tell me how you see it, Chris. If indeed John Deere is prohibiting people from being able to fix the tractors, okay? Not have a situation in which you got to go to them every time something goes wrong, okay? But have the ability to try to fix it on your own or go to a legitimate repair spot to fix the John Deere equipment. If they are prohibiting that, I can see there being an issue there. Because if you always have to keep going back to them for the service, then, I mean, the price is the price at that particular point. Now, I fundamentally can't get on board with that. If that is indeed here what is happening, we'll see it. It'll all come out in the wash, but that's the way it's coming across.
When you're having been on farms and worked on farms and coming from a rural area, the last thing farmers want to have to do when something breaks down is have to physically load a tractor or a piece of machinery and take it to a dealer. Like, you just don't have time for that. It's a ton of money. It's a pain in the ass. And guess what? It takes time away from the harvesting, from the combining, whatever it is, the planting, whatever it is that you're doing on your farm. Every piece of machinery, it has to work in synergy with each other. And if something happens, then everything comes to a halt. Farmers are very resourceful. Mm-hmm. And I feel like farmers are kind of viewed as, you know, not intelligent knuckleheads who, you know, they're just, you know, they're kind of a little different and they don't, you know.
Oh, I view farmers the total opposite.
Okay, good. Because It's an incredibly difficult job. And they're very resourceful. Farmers are some of the smartest people
met. If anybody views a farmer as someone who's not articulate, like, what's wrong with you?
I think that'd be
the weakest stereotype ever.
I get that feeling though, because some people don't, maybe they just don't appreciate what farmers do, but farmers are some of the most intelligent people that are out there. And guess what? If there's a problem, to quote Vanilla Ice, if there's a problem, yo, they'll solve it. Like, they figure out, because that's their life. That's their blood. If you don't work, you can't sell. You can't sell, you don't make money. You don't make money, guess what? You know, we know what happens from there. To say, hey, we need to let these owners of this machinery, we need to allow them the opportunity to fix their own vehicles. I mean, how would you feel if every time something happened with your car, you had to take it to a dealership? I mean, that's the same thing. Something happens to my car, I don't want to have to take it to a dealership because I'm going to get overcharged. I know that. And I'm always going to get it up. So sometimes you just want to fix the problem the most efficient way and go about your life.
John Deere has been at the center of a cloud of antitrust scrutiny in farm country in recent years over what has often been called, quote, the right to repair campaign. The company has previously defended its technology as proprietary, locking independent technicians out of software or requiring Deere parts for repairs. Farmers often lament tractors stalling in the fields during spring planting and needing to wait hours, even days, for an authorized technician to reach the farmer for repair. To me, that's unacceptable. And anybody out there in rural communities or whatever that has a take on this, I'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. That is stupid to me. I would hate to, like, if there's something specific to my vehicle, I shouldn't just have to go to the dealership of said, like you mentioned, you just referenced this, of the type of vehicle that mm-hmm. I drive.
Yeah.
If I could go get service at a reasonable cost or whatever, or let's say it's even more than another, that should be my right to do it.
And how about a warranty? Like, okay, if you're going to force these farmers who, I mean, if you're wasting time, you're wasting money. You're wasting time, you're losing money. They say time is money, especially when you're in that environment. And see, now that you're, again, just coming from that world, it just pisses me off that I hear that this is how people are basically pigeonholed. Well, we've got this proprietary technology. Well, that's great. But if you can't get it to your consumers,
it doesn't matter.
Where your consumers can take advantage of it, it doesn't matter.
651-461-9226. This one from the text line here says, amen. This has been going on for years, and it's ridiculous. And I just, to me, this is where we get into that area where people, they should have options, right? Like, that's the reality of it. You should have options. When you go into Target, right, it isn't just that you see all the products there. More times than not, there's going to be a Target alternative, whether it's the Good and Gather or it's the generics with Target brand medicine or whatever. Like, to think that there shouldn't be options for all of us as consumers if you have a John Deere product, that sucks.
You got to give them alternatives.
I love John Deere. Like, my dad, for my dad's pretty much his entire life, or at least living here, my dad has always been great about having one specific item that's been strictly John Deere. You know what that's been? A snowblower. Like the big boy, massive, nice snow. I mean, so yeah, I kind of come out of a family that does appreciate John Deere.
Well, and the thing is, like, people are very loyal to their brand.
For sure.
I mean, once you buy something, you know, people are loyal to Ford or Chevy or John Deere or International Harvester. Like, this is your brand. And you are ride or die.
Let's go to Jason in St. Cloud. He's a farmer. Hey, Jason, thanks for the phone call, my man. How you doing?
Howdy. I grew up working on a farm. I'm not a farmer, but this boils down to software. They will not let them access the software that
yep.
runs these tractors. And it's kind of like buying an iPhone or a laptop and Microsoft or Apple would say only, you know, an Apple
service tech
can work on the phone.
Yeah, that's what they mean.
That's only John Deere.
Yeah, so. that's what they mean here when I was mentioning the technology is proprietary. So we totally get that. Right. But I mean, when you look at this, you don't think that this is right, do you?
No, absolutely not. Once the warranty expires, it should be anybody's right to have access to fix that tractor. And in order to do it, you need to have access to the software and the computers that are running those tractors and combines. So, yeah, John Deere really, or any manufacturer does that, to shoot themselves in the foot. And I hope that people would stop buying that equipment knowing that they can't get an independent technician to fix it. So
yeah,
hopefully the market will correct it. But if it won't, then, yeah, John Deere needs to be called into account on this.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the phone call from Jason in St. Cloud. I truly appreciate it, man. Thanks for weighing in, giving your take on it.
Great perspective.
Great perspective, and I agree with the perspective.
Like, yes.
To me, this is the part where it –
And I'm glad you mentioned the warranty, too, because
yes.
The warranty is a big, big part of this, in my opinion.
This is the issue that I think that we're going to be dealing with. And this is even beyond John Deere. I think with the incoming administration, it's funny how they cited that. John Deere cited that, too. I think that there's going to be there's going to be some questions, I think, amongst the American people about – because this gouging stuff could get worse if we have certain people that have accumulated so much wealth that they are willing to just try to buy up, and control everything in American life, and the American people realistically have way less options.
We will have more monopolies than what we could even imagine.
And that's scary to think about. That is really scary to think about. All right, 651-461-9226 if you'd like to weigh in on this or any of the topics that we're going over here for the remaining portion of the show. But do football fans hate Tom Brady, the GOAT? I think they must. I'll tell you why. We get to that next year on The Lake Show.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm starting to think that a lot of football fans hate Tom Brady. I love Tom Brady. Tom Brady is the greatest football player. Well, he's the greatest quarterback we've ever seen. I think when it's all said and done, in my lifetime, the best quarterback that I will have ever seen will be Patrick Mahomes. I think he's getting close. Like, Patrick Mahomes is unbelievable. But Tom Brady's the GOAT. I claimed that Tom Brady was probably on pace to be the GOAT after his first championship. I said to my friend Paul Charchian of Fantasy Football fame, I said to Charch, I texted him and I said, dude, I think right now we're looking at a dude that's probably going to end up being the greatest of all time. This is after one ring. I saw it. I could see it early.
You should have crowned him at Texas Tech?
I just was like, what?
You should have crowned him the best ever at Texas Tech?
I'm talking about Tom Brady.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Patrick Mahomes.
I'm talking about Tom Brady. And so I'm like, this guy, you could just see that there was something different about Tom Brady. I'm like, man, Tom Brady just is something. He's got it. There's something about him. I think that a lot of people dislike Tom Brady, but I'm trying to figure out why. Is it because he's been the villain, or it's because of all the rings with the New England Patriots? I think that that has to be it, because for people to get upset at Tom Brady for his early career in broadcasting doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I wasn't expecting Tom Brady to be perfect, to have no flaws, to be, you know, incredibly polished in his first year. That's not what I was expecting. But Tom Brady, according to a couple of reports out there, under fire for on-air mistake as fans call for his removal from broadcasting role. So Tom Brady was, he was part of the call for the Green Bay Packers Philadelphia Eagles game, and he made a mistake on the air in talking about the Philadelphia Eagles. He called the Philadelphia Eagles something else, and now we're going to ask for Tom Brady to all of a sudden he must exit the broadcast booth. This is what it sounded like over the weekend where Brady, well, he called the Philadelphia Eagles something else.
Three timeouts, so you'd have a couple plays, but I like this call by the Phillies. Excuse me, by Philly.
All right, so if you don't understand what just took place, he said he liked the call by the Phillies. Instead of saying Eagles, he said by the Phillies. And we know that the Philadelphia Phillies is the baseball team in Philadelphia. But, okay, he made a mistake. Are we really asking for Tom Brady to be kicked off of broadcast for that? That's insane to me.
Tom Brady...
It's an innocent mistake. Innocent.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Brady is one of the most loved and hated football players of all time. I do think that people... It was a nice story, you know, being a sixth-round pick, apparently. That's, you know, that's word on the street out of Michigan. Apparently, you know, he wasn't highly touted. Got his job because Drew Bledsoe got knocked out and won a Super Bowl. Great story. All of a sudden, he starts to win, and he becomes successful, and he becomes rich, and he's all over, and he's good-looking.
He's got the supermodel wife.
He's got the supermodel wife. He's got the perfect life, and all of a sudden, we're like, I really, really hate. I hate Tom Brady. It's like he made a mistake on the broadcast, but we misspeak all the time. People misspeak in daily. Hell, I get the names of my cats mixed up on a daily basis. So, I mean, it's ridiculous. People just want to find any little flaw to tear him down. It's like he's having all of this success. What can I do to nitpick at him because he made this mistake? He's not perfect. I mean, everybody loved Tony Romo when he first got into the broadcast booth. Romo Damas, where he could break things down. Yeah, Tom Brady doesn't have that. Tom Brady's not that guy. But I don't think you can expect him. He's going to get better with it. But I think people just need to, relax.
And it was an honest mistake. Like,
honest mistake.
He meant to say Philly, as in the Philadelphia Eagles, but he said Phillies. To mm-hmm. me, you could tell, if you go back and listen to it multiple times, he wasn't trying to say the Phillies. Like, he's speaking about Philly. The text line from 651, are you saying that you love Tom Brady or that he's the greatest quarterback of all time? Or are you saying both? Yes, I'm saying both. There aren't too many people who think he's a great person or that they love him due to his nature and things he has said and done. Well, enlighten me. What has Tom Brady done to where people, like, I don't know what, is there something that I missed out on?
His personal life and his personal beliefs, things like that?
I guess I need the texter to either call in or tell me what has he done behind the scenes that I'm not aware of. Like, yes, he's the greatest quarterback of all time. I'm saying that. And yes, I'm saying I love Tom Brady as an athlete. Early on in his career, I loved his competitiveness, his drive, his will to be great. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of Michael Jordan in him. And respectfully, I don't think that Tom Brady's like the greatest person that's ever walked the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Like, if maybe there's something that you know about Tom Brady that I don't know. But, you know, hit me back with a text and let me know what am I missing.
I think you can say he's got those flaws. Absolutely. I mean, Tom Brady, you can look at everybody and say, you know what? They've got flaws. I got flaws. You got flaws. The Texans got flaws. Everybody's got flaws. I think when we're talking about Tom Brady, I'm talking about him as the football player and then as the broadcaster. And I feel like the people that are criticizing Tom Brady, if you think that is an easy job, it is not. And I don't think he's going into it just walking in saying, okay, I'm Tom Brady. I can say whatever I want, not put any work in. I don't think that's the case at all. But I'm not talking about Tom Brady the person. I don't think you're talking about Tom Brady, because football fans, nobody loves and hates their team and players more than fans.
I'm trying to figure out what is the controversy around Tom Brady that I've missed, though. Like, I'm a Tom Brady fan. I'm trying to think about what he's done.
I think people just hate him because he was a winner, because he had all that success. People want a villain. And the Patriots were a villain because of all of the success. Bill Belichick and everything else.
I think that one of the things people have tried to point at and be upset with about Tom Brady is him having his first child out of wedlock. Well, what the hell are we talking about here? How many people have children out of wedlock every single day? People are going to be down at Target Center right now rooting for Anthony Edwards. He's not married to that woman. So what are we talking? What are we really talking about here?
Yeah, it's much ado about nothing. It really is. And thankfully, hopefully that's just a bunch of online gobbledygook and nonsense from people that couldn't put on the headset and do the same thing that Tom Brady does. It's something that some people are only happy if they're unhappy.
No, I agree, and I think a texter says that perfectly here. Tom Brady people just have to complain. Also from the text line, what broadcaster has made on-air mistakes before? Every now and then I hear people give the wrong time on air, and I would never think of calling for that person's head. Haven't we all said things incorrectly? Yes, I do it every night.
I think I'll say, yeah, what time? It's I think it's about 6:30 right now, H. Lake. I think, oh, wait, that's Pacific time. I'm sorry. In wrestling terms, we say you effed up.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of innocent mistakes.
Yes.
I could go and toss the break and say that Paul Douglas is about to do weather. No, it's Chris Schaefer.
WCC radio. No, WCC. Hey, this, never mind. We could go down a rabbit hole, but no. We should probably get to Chris Douglas coming up.
Yeah, Chris Schaefer's weather up next. And then after that, drinking alcohol, a topic, it's in the news. The specifics of it, I want to talk to you about. We'll do that next.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
I just want to hear this song when Kate comes to Minneapolis. I think they're coming to First Avenue. I just want to hear this one song, and then I'm good for the night.
Cake is it. They're a great
awesome.
Band, yeah.
They're awesome.
Short skirt, long jacket. Great song.
It goes without saying, and I don't think this is breaking news to anybody out there listening, but we know that alcohol, it isn't good for you. Okay, we understand that. We know that we all, I don't say all, but many of us, enjoy a beverage or two. Okay, we get that. Whether it's a beer, whether it's a cocktail, bourbon, vodka, whatever it is. You know, everybody likes the spirits.
Like a little relaxer.
Okay. But we understand that it's not good for you. Okay. Well, there's more information that's coming out about consuming alcohol. And in a draft that was reported yesterday on Tuesday, ahead of a major update to with regards to federal guidelines on how much alcohol Americans should drink, consuming more than one drink a day results in a steep increase in the risk of premature death, according to that new federal review has concluded. So, I'm going to have to do the mandate here. Since it's the Lake Show, I'm going to have to go ahead, head down and lay the hammer down and tell Tubbsy he cannot have a drink each and every night. Because I know that I drive him to drink at some point.
Just like the Vikings do.
That's the one drink. The other drink is probably from his wife, him and his wife. Getting in debates and arguments from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
But don't drink an alcoholic beverage each and every day. Now, according to this report.
One bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
The authors concluded in a final draft published by the Department of Health and Human Services in the United States, males and females have a 1 in 1,000 risk of dying from alcohol use if they consume more than 7 drinks per week. This risk increases to 1 in 100 if they consume more than 9 drinks per week. Okay, so now
that's significant.
I need some help here. Drinking alcohol leads to earlier deaths. But unless you're an alcoholic, why would you drink much anyway? But what would be the why would you drink a ton unless you're an alcoholic? Now, I know that some people will say, well, business meetings, I mean, you can have business functions and stuff like that and not drink alcohol. You don't have to drink. And I know some people are like, well, it just seems kind of weird if we're in a setting or we're at a dinner and I don't have a – whatever, man. If you're succumbing to the peer pressure, you don't have to succumb to the peer pressure. But my point is this. I'll ask you, how many alcoholic beverages do you think you drink a week? Because this says that if you're drinking essentially one a day, that's a problem. 7 drinks per week is a lot. They're saying that the risk increases from 1 in 1,000 to 1 in 100 if it's 9 drinks per week. How many drinks would you say you have per week? Or let's just say, because I can tell you how many I have in a year, but let's just go for a week. How many you say you have in a week?
Zero.
I'm with you.
Zero.
How many alcoholic beverages would you say you have in a year?
Oh, probably less than 100.
Okay.
Probably less than 100. Because I don't drink much anymore. I used to for various reasons. But again, once the THC products became legal, my focus shifted to the cannabis and the THC. I may drink socially, like when I'm out, you know, if we go out to a restaurant, I may have, you know, one of the frilly fufu girly drinks that are like, you know, all colorful with the umbrella and stuff like that. I'll have those because I like to try different things when I'm out. But as for getting a 12 pack of, you know, beer or, you know, a vodka or whatever, I don't really do that anymore.
I'll tell you this. I probably on average, and it's been this way for years now, I probably drink less than 12 alcoholic beverages a year.
Okay.
So which would equal me out to about one a month.
Yeah, I would say I probably have less than 50. I mean, realistically.
And this is the deal. I don't drink an alcoholic beverage per month. What typically happens is I will go to, over the course of a year, a few functions, social events, or maybe a happy hour or something like that with friends or whatever, or something over the holidays.
Yep.
And I'll have one or two, and then that's it. And then I won't drink for like the next couple of months.
You're a social drinker. You're not somebody who'll just open up a can and sit on your couch and watch TV.
I have never been somebody that will open up a six-pack at home and just drink. I've never been somebody that's like, you know what, I'm just going to break open a bottle of whiskey at home and just – that's not me. I'll never be that guy, ever.
Yeah, and you know, my family has a history of alcoholism, so I've tried to be very cognizant and aware that could, you know, I may have some inherent, you know, susceptibility to it. So I've really tried to be conscious of picking and choosing my spots. You know, going out with friends, the social thing, I'm like you. I may have one or two, but I know my limit. I know where I'm comfortable at, and that's okay. You know, that's quite all right. I know there are some that use it as a coping mechanism, and I understand. I understand some use it as a coping mechanism because when I was going through things years ago, I can relate.
And that's a different.
I understand.
And that's
absolutely
different.
Yeah, it's a different conversation.
That's different. When people are dealing with things in life, like stress, and we all have stuff that we pivot to. Like some people are stress eaters, right? Like some people will turn to alcohol mm-hmm. to numb the pain. Some people turn to drugs.
Drugs, yes.
Like hardcore drugs. So I'm not here to make some
judgments. I don't think anybody yeah. thought, but I just, before somebody in the text line was like, well, what about da-da-da-da-da? It's like, you know, make sure that there's a clear differentiation.
Yeah, it's just, it's one of those things, man. But that's super interesting. Don't have a drink per day. But you know, it's funny. What, which of the beer companies had the commercial where you get home from work and you plop your, they had one where the woman plops down her purse, she throws off her bra, she sits on the couch and she cracks open a six pack. I can't remember which one it was.
I would have to remember. I don't even really remember.
I don't know if it may have been Corona. I'm not sure. But yeah, they're saying don't do that. it says, according to Timothy Nami, director of the Canadian Institute for Substance Use Research and one of the authors of the report, once you're over a drink a day, your risk of dying from alcohol is already above 1%. Some people may think it doesn't sound like a lot, but in terms of a public health guideline, that would be really, really high.
Yeah, that's...
And I never drank every day when I was in college. And you had people on your college campuses that got drunk all the time.
Yeah, it was, you know, some people had a tolerance and... Yeah, it was just that was never. I mean, I did it during that time, but then once I kind of moved on to the next phase of my life, I didn't do it anymore, and I'm perfectly okay. And again, there are some that use it as a social function. There are some that use it as a relaxation method. I completely understand. Completely understand. You know, just like anything. Now that we know the risks. If that's a risk, you know, you want to take, and if you're comfortable with it, hey, man, you live your life. As long as you're not hurting anybody, you live your life. I'm cool with that.
Now it says here from the Distilled Spirits Council of the U.S., a trade coalition that represents spirits producers, called in a statement co-signed by other industry groups on the federal government to reject the findings of the panel. They say today's report is a product of a flaw. An unprecedented process rife with bias and conflicts of interest. The statement said, accusing some of the experts on the federal panel of having ties to international anti-alcohol advocacy organizations. Let me say this real quickly. There's nobody that's aligned with the Distilled Spirits Council of the U.S. that could make the claim to me that alcohol is beneficial to my health. No chance. Sorry, guys. It's not going to work. Not going to work. 651-461-9226.
Anything can be true if you want it to be.
Final segment of the Lake Show coming up next. All right. The text line weighing in on our last topic. My neighbor is a Vietnam veteran. He drinks probably a 12-pack a day. When you talk to him anything related to the war, you swear he was a stone sober. It's a self-med to get rid of the war of the war demons. And listen, we said that this is not a one size fits all, and there are outliers to this.
Yes.
And no one is. And another texter says, if there's one thing that shouldn't be painted with a broad brush, is alcohol consumption habits. No one's saying that. What we're saying is, per the data from the doctors, they're telling you that more than a drink a day, you're increasing your risk of death, of premature death. That's all we're saying. No one's saying that you should never have a drink. No one's saying that at all. We're just giving you what the report says.
Yeah, it's
you don't have to like it.
No, it's Mr. Mackey from South Park. Alcohol's bad, okay? Drugs are bad. Alcohol bad. I understand the self-medication. I understand using alcohol as a crutch to, you know, to numb whatever ills that you have. Yes, and it doesn't apply to everybody because every situation is a little bit different. I completely understand that. But man, it's so.
And this is not even me being judgmental.
No, you're not being judgmental at all.
If you're drinking a drink a day, two drinks a day, or 12 pack a day, that's your life. That's your business.
Yeah.
I got no issue.
As long as you're not drinking and driving or hurting anybody else, it doesn't matter to me whatsoever what you do. That's fine. Everybody's got their reasons, and that's, again, that's completely okay. I'm never going to be the one to throw stones, you know, because I live in a glass house. Okay? I cannot throw stones at anybody.
Slow start for the Timberwolves.
I was going to say, talk about throwing stones, Steph Curry. He's throwing a lot of stones. And stones mean threes.
The Wolves trail 11-0. You know what's interesting? You know what the betting line was on this tonight? And I said, there's no chance they cover this. The Wolves are favored tonight by 6.5. I was like, there's no chance they're gonna. They're down 13-0.
Yeah.
Get a timeout, Finchy.
Poor people at the Target Center, they're still standing.
Yeah, my dad's one of them. He just texts me from the seats.
He's like, I'm tired. I just want to sit down. All right. Come on. Just give it to, there you go, Julius Randle. Bang. Nope. Nope. Okay. Offensive rebound. There you
Dante.
Go. Okay. You can sit down now. You can sit down now.
I think it's kind of a weird thing, too. Don't you?
No.
The whole, like, you got to stand until they score. But, I mean, well, come on.
I mean, it's a fun little thing.
Is it fun?
Yes. Especially when you're not there. I mean, I'm not there. I don't care. You know, get outscored 30-0.
I mean, it
doesn't matter to me.
How about we start doing this? Every time it's on television, we make you stand until they score a basket.
Okay.
Don't sit down.
Okay.
You stand. Well, how about you stand until they score their next basket? How about you do that?
Okay. Fine. I'll stand.
You had to stand up.
Fine. I'll stand. The minute that your ass leaves this building, I'm sitting back down.
I mean, you would hope that they're going to score before we get off the air.
I would hope so. I mean, my goodness, it's like me in high school just trying to score but coming up empty. I mean, dang. Yeah.
Hey, let me mention this real quickly because this is a sad story, and I'm not – I just want to say this in remembrance of this young man. Remember the video from years ago of Jack Hoffman, the young Nebraska football fan, the little kid that scored the touchdown during
the spring practice?
The spring game?
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, he died from brain cancer at the age of 19 today.
Oh, man. Made it to 19, but that's not
enough. Think about that battle with cancer. 14 years?
That's not enough time, man.
That's a tough one right there.
That is a tough one.
I'll never forget that highlight, though. We saw it on SportsCenter Top 10 and all that stuff, whatever. It's kind of a legendary, iconic video
of him
running for a touchdown.
Yeah, it's iconic. Even if you're not a Nebraska fan, it's still pretty cool.
Yeah. All right, that's going to wind down the show tomorrow. Steve Silton in the studio. We'll talk to Matthew Colley, get a wrap-up on the Viking season. Full show tomorrow at 6 o'clock right here on The Good Neighbor. News Talk 830 WCCO.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.